There are 24 things that are me'akev es hatshuva, that prevent tshuva. And we'll see, these all come from the Gemara, more or less. Now, if you jump to the end of the parak, just so you don't get too scared, look at the last halacha in the parak, which is halacha above. Kol elu advarim, after going through these 24 things, he writes, all these 24 things, ukiyotze b'hem and the like, afal pishem akven as a tshuva, even though they prevent tshuva, in moninosa, they don't prevent tshuva. So what does that mean? They're me'akev, but they're not moneya. We'll explain in a minute. Ella im asa adam tshuva mehem, if a person did tshuva from them, hareiz a bal tshuva. He certainly is a bal tshuva. V'yesh lo chelek l'olam haba, he's forgiven, and he has a chelek in olam haba, and the like. So, clearly what he's saying here is that these things make tshuva difficult or unlikely, but there's nothing that actually prevents tshuva. And therefore, you shouldn't think that this list means that if you're in this list, there's no hope. Rather, these things are really chizuk, things to stay away from, to be careful about, because they make tshuva unlikely or exceedingly difficult. So let's go back now to halacha aleph. What are they? So the first category are sins that are particularly egregious. Arba'a mehen avon gadol. V'ha'oseus echad mehem. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maspik biyado lasos tshuva lefigo del cheto. These are such great sins that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give you the chance to do tshuva due to the gravity of the sin. Now, this is interesting because, well, before, what does it mean? So, I think what it means is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not misayeya. We have a general idea that habala taher misayeno. So, someone who wishes to come close to Hashem, to purify themselves, they have special siyata dishmaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps them. And the people who have done these four averos, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give them that extra siyata dishmaya. As we saw, if they succeed on their own in doing tshuva, that tshuva is accepted. All tshuva is always acceptable. But because of the gravity of their sins, so God doesn't give them that extra help. So, yes, I assume what it means is as follows. Hatapala tarmasinoso means you get extra hashgacha, right? The Gemara says, Habala taher masayino. So, Habala tame, nosnin loe, something like that. Meaning to say, if you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person who genuinely wants to become tahor, siyata dishmaya, he allows a person to mess up, he helps a person come back. So, that means there's a degree of divine assistance for return that you don't even have going out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to improve. That special measure of assistance is taken away for these particular averos. So a person still has freedom and bechira and they can do tshuva, but that siyata d'shmaya is taken away.
I guess what I'm asking is more like, what is the sign of so practically speaking? I don't know what that can answer for. What is Hashem doing to help that person do tshuva?
Right.
And allowing him to do the physical actions to do tshuva?
So no, I don't think that's what it means. I think it could mean a lot of things, but one possibility is that he puts him in a place where he'll be more likely to receive inspiration, or helps him stay away from people or things that might push him off his course, and so on and so forth. Okay. So, what are they? Veluheim hamachti es harabim, someone who causes others to sin. It's one thing to yourself be a sinner, but someone who hurts others, so that's considered far more egregious. It's more evil. You're not just hurting yourself, you're hurting other people. V'amata chaveiro miderech tova lira, along similar lines, you direct your friend from the path of good to the path of bad. Kigon mesis umediach, those are people that cause people to do avodah zara. Haroa bino yotze letarbus ra'a, ve'eno memache biyado. Or, and obviously you see a pattern over here, someone who sees his child going in a bad direction and does not stop them, does not do what they can to prevent them. This is a little further than the first two categories. Sorry, I skipped a little bit. I apologize. Let's go back to the first one. I see I skipped a line. So number one is Machti Esarabim. Uvichlal avon zeh hama'akev esarabim lasos mitzvah. So the ikar, in each of these examples, we're going to have the av and the tolda. The example and then maybe a derivative. So the example here is causing others to sin, and the derivative is preventing them from doing a mitzvah. Obviously, that's not as bad. Causing someone to do an aveira is worse than preventing them from doing a mitzvah, but it's the same idea in the sense that we're harming a person. We're either harming them by causing them to do an aveira or preventing them from doing a mitzvah. Number two, as we said, is causing someone to go off the path, or go from a good path to a bad path. Now, why is that different than number one? I think the difference is that number one form focuses more on a maisa avera, whereas number two is more about a trajectory, a way of life. You don't cause anybody to do an avera, chas v'shalom, but perhaps you take them along with you to a place that they shouldn't be going, or you give them advice that puts them on the wrong course and the like. So, as I said, there's clearly a lot of similarity here. Number three, and this is one step removed in a sense from the first two, because number one and two are about causing someone to do bad in some way, and the third is someone is doing bad, but you don't get them off that path. Somebody's going along a bad path, and you prevent them from when it's in your ability to stop them. Now, the example is bino, one's child, and that's because, of course, one has a special responsibility towards their child. And that's one's achrayus to their child is greater than to anybody else. So, not preventing one's child from going down a bad path is equivalent, because of your responsibility, to sending somebody else along that path. But then he adds, and he explains, ho v'novir shuso, ilu michuvo hayaporish v'nimtza kemachtio. Because your child is under your authority, you have it in your power to prevent it by being mocha, by protesting. In other words, what the Rambam is saying is, in a certain sense, category three is really like category one, insofar as you have more authority over your own child. Somebody else's child's going to a bad place, you can't necessarily tell them what to do. One's own child, you can. But then the Rambam says the derivative of this is something that's not limited to one's own child. Bein yachid, bein rabim, velo micha, el yanichem bechishlona. Anytime you do have in your power to protest, to prevent somebody from doing something wrong, and you don't, so this too is included, at least in a derivative, whether this is individuals or the tzibur. And this is something I think that's very important, because we live in a world where many people have the attitude of, look, you know, you do what you need to do. I'm going to do what I think I should do, and it's not my business to say anything to you. You are yourself. You have autonomy. You make your own decisions. I might think your decisions are bad, but that's your business. It's not my business. Of course, we know that's not the Torah's attitude. The Torah believes in Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, the idea that there's a mitzvah of tochacha, which means that if you see somebody doing something wrong, you have to stop them if you can. And one of the reasons why I think that we don't always intuitively feel this way is because we don't always appreciate how bad and harmful it is. If we see somebody about to burn themselves or eat poison or the like, so of course we would say something, stop, don't eat that, you're gonna kill yourself. And of course, doing averos is more harmful to the person. And not to step in and say something is saying, I don't care if you kill yourself. That's your business. That's horrible. But both with respect to ourselves and with respect to others, I don't think we naturally feel that. Now, it is true that, especially in our world, saying things doesn't help. And if you tell somebody something, they might say, mind your own business, or what do you care what I do, or the like. And the Gemara says that even though there's a mitzvah to give tochacha, there's also rebuke, tell people that they're doing things wrong, if they're doing something wrong. Kashem she mitzvah lomar davar shenishmas, kach mitzvah shelo lomar davar sheina nishmas. Just like it's a mitzvah to say something that's going to be listened to, so too it's a mitzvah not to say something that's not going to be listened to. And a lot of times, if a person does tochacha inappropriately, it'll make matters worse. Instead of helping a person do better, it's going to just get them more upset. And there's a principle in halacha called mutav shiushogigim v'al yihu mezidim. Sometimes one shouldn't give tochacha. Better that they be b'shogeg. If they're doing something wrong now, and if I tell night now they're doing a b'shogeg, they don't realize it's wrong. If I tell them it's wrong, so they'll be doing it b'mezid. So I haven't helped them by telling them. I've harmed them by telling them. Now there are parameters to all these rules. For example, that last rule doesn't apply if anyway they know it's usher. They're already amazed, so maybe it doesn't hurt to tell them. And there's a difference, therefore, the poskim say, between things that are mefurish b'kvar, everybody knows that they're usher, and things that not everybody knows. Sometimes it's a suffix. Sometimes if I give them tochacha, not only won't they listen, but they'll be doing averos because they'll hate me. The pasuk says, "Hochech tochich asamisecha." What's next?
Don't hate somebody in your heart.
Right. You have to. Ve'hafta lecha kamocha lo sisa lav chet, and ve'hafta lecha kamocha lo sisa lav chet. So if I'm going to go ahead and give them tochacha, and they're going to rebuke, they're going to curse me, they're going to insult me, they're going to offend me. So generally speaking, that's not the right thing. Sometimes there might be an inyan of tochacha just as a protest, and the post can talk about how far you have to give tochacha ad kedei haka, until they're going to start beating you up. But fundamentally, it has to be done in a way that's effective. If it's not going to be effective, then don't do it. It has to be done with pichlus, with intelligence. Usually saying, don't do that, it's usher, so it's not going to work. But coming close to them, having a relationship with them, showing them that you actually care about them, that this is an expression of haftal recha kamocha, so that might have an effect. It takes longer. It's not something that you could do in a second. And even if you can't do anything, at least feel bad. But that's what this Rambam is telling us. The idea is that kol she'efsher biyado limchos, anytime you have it in your power to be mocha, ve'eino mocha, and you don't do it, so to some degree, you're included in that state. Because you could have stopped it. You had a question, Leva?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's the type of thing where they know it's not. You know, mm-hmm.
Yes. Sometimes when it comes to these things, you have to also think about the big picture, not the little picture. Meaning to say, if I could get them to stop right now, so say, why not? That's better than nothing. It is. But if the long-term consequence of that is that it'll push them further away, so it's probably not a good idea. So when it comes to these types of things, it's important to think in terms of the bigger picture, not just the smaller picture. Okay. So it's very interesting. So the first three categories are all basically, again, this is people who don't have that siyata deshmaya. For tshuva is people that are, is causing other people harm, either directly or indirectly. What's the mida keneged mida here? Why is it that not causing people to do aveiros or not helping them is something that prevents you from receiving that divine assistance from tshuva? So maybe the answer is tshuva and the siyata deshmaya of tshuva is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is caring for us. He's reaching out to us and helping us come back. And if we, at the very least, care about other people, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mida Keneged Mida, cares about us and gives us that help, holds our hand to bring us back in. Whereas if you say, I don't care about anybody but myself, so then Mida Keneged Mida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give you that assistance. And finally, number four, the Omer Echta V'Ashuv, someone who says, I will sin and I'll do tshuva. So here, obviously, why it is that the opportunity for tshuva, again, it's there, you could always do tshuva, but you won't get that siyata deshmaya for tshuva, so that's obvious. That attitude is flying in the face of the gift, the opportunity of tshuva. And likewise, the Rambam says of Chalal, a derivative of this is Ha'omer Echdav Yom HaKippur Mechaper. So if you say, I will sin and do tshuva, Ein Maspik and Biado Lasos Tshuva. And likewise, Ha'omer Echdav Yom HaKippur Mechaper, so then Yom HaKippur not be Mechaper. Okay, so now we're up to category two. Umehem, Chamisha Dvarim Hano'alim Darkei Tshuva Defnei Oseya. There are five things that lock the doors, the paths of tshuva, before those who do these five things. Again, I'm sorry? I don't know. I'm not sure how they relate to each other. Again, as we saw before, even in these things, it doesn't mean that tshuva is impossible. That's what we saw from the end of the parak. But it does sound like even when you want to do tshuva, you're going to find the door locked in front of you. So you can still break down the door, but the door is going to be locked in your face. That's perhaps the idea here. So number one, haporesh min hatzibur. So we talked about this not last week, 2 weeks ago when we did Parag Gimel, where we also saw the idea of Parish Minat Zibor, and we talked about that then, why this is considered such a terrible thing. Lefi Shebizman Shiasu Tshuva Lo Yiya Imayim Ve'eno Zoch Imayim B'schos She'osim. That at the time that you want it, that is a hisorus for tshuva, so you're not going to be with them. There's going to be an inspirational speaker that comes to the shul and inspires everyone to do tshuva, and they sing songs that awaken everybody to do tshuva, and you're not going to be there because you're a Parish Minat Zibor. So perhaps in terms of your question, Liba, we'll see if this works for all of them, but maybe the people in this list are, this is the natural consequence of what they do. In other words, because they're not around, so they're not going to be inspired to do tshuva. They're Parish Minat Zibor. Number two, the cholek al devei chachamim. Someone who argues with the words of the chachamim, who dismisses the words of the chachamim, who mocks the words of the chachamim, who makes fun of. There's a lot of, sadly, cynicism about devei chachamim, whether it's chachamim of old or chachamim of our generation. And someone who does that also will not succeed in doing tshuva. Again, Rambam is going to give us a very natural reason. Lefi shemach lukto goremes olifrosh mehem. If you're always cynical, then you're going to separate yourself from the chachamim. You're certainly not going to pay attention, listen to their words. Ve'enu yodarki tshuva. You're not going to know the ways of tshuva. It's, I'll tell you a fascinating thing. Last night, I was looking for a certain marmakom in Alishur from Rivoldi, which I couldn't find. So I happened to be on my computer. So I figured I would search for it. Okay, I don't know if it's a good idea or a bad idea. Anyway, so while searching for it, I saw the Wikipedia page for Rivoldi. So I looked at the bottom, and I saw external links, and then there are shiurim from Rabbi Reuven Leichter. Anyone ever heard of him? So I had heard of him, but I never heard him before. But I have a very close friend who's a Talmud of his and really speaks so highly of him. So I figured, let me listen to a shiur. So I saw a shiur, which was actually a video, that was something like how to listen. And I was blown away. Unbelievable, blown away. And so interesting, by the way, he's a tremendous Talmud of Rivoldi. But anyone ever hear Rivoldi? I zochet to hear Rivoldi many times. He used to give shiurim in Hebrew at Kol Torah after Shal Shittis, before Mariv. And also in the Mir, we give him Yiddish. Rivoldi would speak very slowly, very deliberately. And there was no humor. And here his Talmud was speaking quickly, and he was funny, he was cracking jokes, but I mamish never heard anyone present ideas from Rivoldi in such a powerful way. He wasn't quoting him, but you saw the derech. And one of the things that I found remarkable was how you see the Mesorah, you see the derech passed from Rebbe to Talmud, even though personality-wise and presentation-wise, they were totally different from each other. And that's because, and I think you see this with many great teachers and their students, the students are going to be very different than the teacher, because the goal of a mechanech is not to mold their students into miniature versions of themselves. It's to help them develop themselves in their own way. Everybody's different. So to see that same derech, but in the opposite way, that first of all blew me away. So So the second thing that blew me away was the message, and I only listened to the first couple minutes because I was really supposed to be doing something else. But I couldn't tear myself away. I have to go back and listen to the rest. I'm sorry? Well, there's a whole list of them there. I didn't get to finish those, but this is a whole website of this year. Maybe there's more. Anyway, so it's all about how to listen. That's why this reminded me of this, because it was all about, it says here that if you are cholik on the chacham, you're not going to listen to their words. You're not going to listen to their words. You're not going to do tshuva. So he talked about what it means to listen. What does it mean to listen? He said a fascinating maisi. He said that certain Bali Musar say that if you listen to my shmooze and that makes you immediately have an improvement, means you weren't listening. Let's say somebody gives a shir on davening, and so immediately the next one asks for with lots more kavana. What do you mean you weren't listening? That's exactly what they said. He said, if you listen to me and you remember everything I said, means you weren't listening. So that's the exact opposite of normally what we think about when we think of listening. Remember? Retention. You weren't listening. He said that he doesn't let anyone take notes in his shiurim, his vadim, I don't know exactly what it is. He said some people can't handle that. He said they're supposed to take notes and they write down, don't take notes. And then they look what they said and they guess they have to stop. So then they like listen, focused, and then they're in the front row listening, and then a minute later they're asleep because they can't manage. So what's wrong with that? So the answer is that when it comes to musar, it's not about retaining the information. It's about changing. And if you're so busy taking notes and even focusing on the material, it's very easy to not let it affect you. It's like people that are at tourist spots and they're so busy taking the picture and getting the perfect picture and the perfect video and the like, they don't experience witnessing that beautiful waterfall or whatever it is, because they're focused so much on the picture. So you're at a shir. You could be so focused on retaining the information and getting down the message and taking notes. I know you're all very good note takers. I don't want to offend anybody. But then the note taking can actually be a distraction from internalizing the information. Go ahead and you immediately have a better shot. That's right. So that shows that it's like the way you see it, it's an easy problem with an easy solution. So that's it. Like you solved the problem. But that's not what change is about. So that too. It reminds me of something that somebody once told me they heard from Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz. Chaim Shmuel Levitz said there used to be people that would write down every word during Reb Yeruchim's shmuzin. Reb Yeruchim was the mashkiach and the mir, and they were copious note takers. They're probably the people who wrote it down carefully, and from their notes it was published. And like he said, they didn't understand Reb Yeruchim. He said, I used to go to Reb Yeruchim's shmuzin and I would fall asleep. But I understood Reb Yeruchim. So I used to have Malav and Malka with him. So his point is that, and this is especially true in the realm of Musar and the like, but not just Musar like topic of Musar. It's Torah, which we're supposed to study because it's supposed to change us. It's not, Talmud Torah is not just about retaining the information and knowing the idios and passing the test. It's kihem chayenu. It's the Or Hashem that is supposed to transform us. And oftentimes, focusing on the information can be a distraction from allowing the information to transform us. So, that's what the Rambam here is saying, which is that if we want to take the positive, Rambam here is focusing on the negative. But if you want to change, a person wants to improve, wants to do tshuva, so then the way that they should do it is by hanging around Chachamim and allowing himself to be exposed to their behavior. And then, if you're open to that hashpah could be particularly powerful. I think one of the things that Chaim Shmulevitz was saying in that story is that, in a sense, you get that more from eating Malava Malka with the Rebbe than from going to their shmooze. Okay. I have to hear the other half of the shir. The hamalig al hamitzvos. And likewise, you make fun of mitzvos. So this is a similar point. Just like if one makes fun of the chachamim, he won't ever be inspired by their message. Cynicism is one of the most destructive forces that there is. A malik is called a leitz. And the Pasuk in Mishlei says that a leitz is someone who's sone tochachos. If you're sone tochachos, then you'll never improve. Shekevan shenisbazu be'enav, since mitzvos are silly in their eyes, ain't a rodef acharein, ain't osan. You're not going to run after them. You're not going to do them. Then lo ya'aseh b'me'a yizkeh. If you don't do them, how are you going to be zocha? So again, like we said, everything in this category is just a natural consequence. These people aren't going to be zocha to do tshuva because they're never going to be inspired. I would add, perhaps, to this category, which is if they're silly in your eyes, then even if you do them, they won't necessarily have that effect on a person. Somebody does the mitzvos, but he doesn't see the mitzvos as meaningful and significant. So they're certainly, I don't know, if I would say that they're nothing. Still done the mitzvah, but they're less likely to have that impact. Number four. V'hamivaze rabosav. Same thing. You make fun of, you belittle one's teacher, shedavar zagorim lo, l'dachva u'latardo kegechazi. That will cause them to be pushed away, separated from their teachers, like Gechazi. We all know what happened to him. He was someone who had the incredible opportunity of being Meshame Shalisha, but he didn't listen to Elisha after the story of Naaman, and ultimately he ended up a Metzora and really lost everything. It was Man Shenitrad, William Tzimalamed Umorelo Derechaimus. And you won't have a teacher, you won't have someone to teach you the Derech Emes. And again, this Rambam again and again is stressing the importance to have a more lo derech ha'emes, someone who's going to teach you the right path. Another story from Revoldi, since we're mentioning it. So Revoldi was, in the last couple decades of his life, really the most senior mashgiach in Eretz Yisrael, the most senior Baal Musar. Everybody looked towards him and his Sfarim, which are incredible for Musar, for Hadracha, and the like. So when he was already a pretty old man, I don't remember exactly how old he was. I remember reading this in one of the biographical sketches that were published after he was Nifter, when he was in his 60s or 70s. Again, already probably the most senior Mashkiach. So his Rebbe died. So you think, okay, you know, he's, everybody else is Rebbe. So he said, no. Asei l'charav. Person always needs a Rebbe. So he went and he picked a new Rebbe, who was someone younger than him, far less chashev. I don't know, I don't want to rate people, but at least to outside people beneath him, he said. He didn't feel that way, but that's what he held. And I think it said he used to take a bus every week, once a week, to Haifa to visit his Rebbe. Which is not a, if you've ever taken a bus from Yerushalayim to Haifa, it's not an easy trek. I don't know, like the 947 goes from Yerushalayim to Haifa, circling like 16 different places, like Netanya and Lud, and like maybe there's a more direct one, I don't remember, it's been a while. But anyway, there is a person always has to have a Rebbe. There's no such thing as graduating from a Rebbe. And it's not just a Rebbe. A person always has to be exposed, always has to have their eyes open to learn lessons. And if you have your eyes open, you can learn from everybody. You learn from your Rebbe, you learn from your friends, you learn from your students, you learn from nature, you learn from reading the newspaper. Everywhere you go, you'll encounter things that teach you and affect you and help you see how to live your life better, if you're looking for it. And if you don't, you might notice all these fascinating observations, but they won't have any effect. Number five, Vasoni es ha-tochacho, someone who hates tochacho will obviously never improve. Shrei lo hiniach lo derech tshuva. Shetochachas go remes tshuva. It's tochacho that causes tshuva. Now, this is not easy because nobody likes to get criticized. It's not pleasant to hear criticism. It makes you feel bad, makes you feel uncomfortable and the like. The way to improve is to be someone that's oev es ha-tochachos, not sone es ha-tochachos, that's the opposite. Now, to do that, a person has to have a healthy sense of self-esteem. If a person does not, so every time they hear tochachos, they'll fart, and they'll feel terrible about themselves, and they'll become depressed, and they'll never improve. And the truth is, you have to be honest with yourself about it. If you know that hearing certain types of things might make you feel very bad, but it's not going to make you feel bad about yourself in a way that's going to help you improve. It's going to make you feel bad about yourself, and then you're going to be depressed. From a place of depression, it's very hard to truly improve. But what one should strive for is to have a strong sense of self such that they can hear tochachos in a way that doesn't depress them, but inspires them to do better. So the Rambam says, Shebizman shemodiyin lo la'adam chata'av u'machlimin oso, when a person is told of their sins and their belittled. Chozer b'tshuva. K'mo shekasu b'Torah. Zechor al tishkach es asher tzavta es Hashem Elokecha. You have to think about the stories in the Torah or the stories in your life that caused you to make mistakes. The pasuk continues, Mamrim ha'yisem. Remember that you were mamrim to Hashem. V'lo nasan Hashem lachem leiv. Pasuk continues, Lev Ladas, Ozen Lashma. Until this day, is a pasuk that was said after the 40 years in the desert. Am Naval Velo Chacham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving tochacha, Moshe, to the Jewish people. You're foolish people. It's not to insult them, it's to help them improve. V'chein Yishayahu Hochiach Es Yisrael. And this is true really for all the Nevi'im. They gave tochacha. Hoy goy chotei. Yadashur konehu. Even animals know their masters, but ami, my own nation, doesn't listen. Midati ki kashata. V'chein tzivo hakel lochiach lachatayim. And likewise Hashem commanded the prophet to give chastisement to sinners. Shenamar kira bigaron al tachsoch. Call out loud with your throat. Don't be quiet. V'chein kol nevim hochichu liYisrael. Now, we know this is one of the reasons why the prophets suffered so much. Yirmiyahu found himself in jail and almost killed when he gave hochacha to the Jewish people and told them a message about the impending destruction that they didn't want to hear. So, it's not easy. And on the one hand, it's true, the Nevi'im all gave hochacha to Yisrael. We also know, sadly, Klal Yisrael didn't listen to the Nevi'im much of the time. Lefikach tzarch lahamid b'chol kahal v'kahal m'Yisrael chacham gadol v'zakein. So, now the Rambam, having finished this section, which is all about people that aren't going to do tshuva because they're not going to be exposed to tochacha, so there's an obligation for every community to appoint a mochiach, someone who is a chacham gadol, the zakein, the yari shamayim ne'urav, the ahuv lahem, very important. He has to be beloved by them. If they don't love him, they're not going to listen to him. So this is very difficult. Sheyem ochiach l'rabim u'machziram l'tshuva. He has to be someone who's mochiach l'rabim. You know, again, this isn't a message that you guys need to hear, but I see, as someone who teaches smicha students for a number of years already, that when communities are looking for rabbis, they're not always looking for people with the qualities that perhaps they should be looking for in a rabbi. They want inspiring speakers and great speakers and eloquent speakers and the like. But charismatic people, all sorts of things that are looked for. But the Rambam says you need to find, obviously, a Talmud Chacham, in terms of the Rav, but a community has to have a mochiach. A mochiach. That's one of the jobs of a Rav. And it doesn't have to be a Rav. Maybe it's better they should hire one, pick one of the Balabatim to be the Mochiach. That way they can't fire him. V'zeh shesoneh es ha-tochachos, and someone who hates tochachos, eno ba l'mochiach, will not go to a Mochiach, will not go to a Musar Shmuz, v'lo shomea dvarav, and he won't listen to his words, l'fikach, therefore naturally, yamod b'chato sav, he will continue in his sinful path, because as far as he knows, it's wonderful. He's not going to appreciate or recognize the wickedness, the danger, and the destructiveness of his own path and behavior. Yeah. Okay. So now we're up to category 3. Umehem, chamisha dvarim ha'osa osam, yi'efshar lo shi'yashuv b'tshuva gemura. Someone who does these 5 things will not be able to do tshuva gemura. So it's a little different than the previous ones. He might do tshuva, it sounds like, but not tshuva gemura. Why? Lefi shein avonos shebein adam l'chaveiro. Ve'enu yodea chaveiro shechata lo kidei shiachzir lo. O yishal mimenu l'mcholo ve'lehem. This is a category of people that can't do tshuva for technical reasons. The reason is because, as the Rambam explained earlier, to do tshuva for bein adam lechaveiro, you can't just ask God for forgiveness. You must seek appeasement, atonement, mechila from your friend, the person who you've harmed and hurt. Sometimes that's possible. If I hurt somebody's feelings, I could ask them for mechila. Hopefully they'll forgive me. But there are times that you don't know who to ask. So the Rambam gives us some examples. Number one, Hamikalo asarabim, you curse the public or you offend the public. You say something hurtful that offends many people. Just talked about like being a rabbi before and trying to cause people to do tshuva. It's also very easy to mess up, especially when you're trying to be entertaining, one of the major important things of being a rabbi. And you could offend people. So if you offend an individual, sometimes you don't even know. You're not going to ask for mechila. But sometimes you know, you figure it out, you ask for mechila. If it's the rabbim, it doesn't necessarily work.
Why isn't a maftius rabbim here also?
Well, you haven't caused them to do sins. You hurt their feelings.
I'm saying a maftius rabbim, how do you do true for that more than you do for mechalas?
Okay. So what you're saying, I think, is a good point, which is if you're maftius a rabbim, you're also in this category because you have to ask them for forgiveness for causing them, for hurting them, maybe. I think it would be included in this. So let's just finish. So so if you curse the public, you offend the public, you haven't cursed any individual such that you could ask tshuva, rather the rabbim. Yes? Yeah, you know. And they're offended. If it's not ever a good idea to speak badly without a to'elus about a group of people. But if you do it in a way that practically doesn't offend anybody, so obviously that's not nearly as bad as if you do it in a way that actually hurts that tzibor. Hurts their feelings or hurts their standing and thereby hurts the individuals in that tzibor.
So what's the phrase that you need to?
Practically speaking, you don't know who you've harmed such that you could ask for mechila. You know, first of all, you know, the people that were there might not be there now, and you might not know if they've actually forgiven you and the like. You're right. Sometimes it's possible. If you know the 17 people who you offended, you could go to each one of them and ask them for forgiveness. But if it's a rabbim in a more general sense, it's not always practical. No, yeah. No, number two. Hacholek imaganav. Let's say you buy stolen goods. So the problem is, if I steal from a particular person, at the very least, I could return it to them and ask for mechila. If I go buy stolen merchandise, so I don't know who he stole it from. So besides actually doing theft, that's one reason why you can't buy stolen goods, because you actually now don't own the objects you bought. That might depend if they're Yesh, if you knew Rishus and the like, but generally speaking, if you buy stolen goods, they don't actually belong to you. In addition, you're sort of supporting a system that encourages more theft, which is very harmful. And finally, what the Rambam is saying is that you won't know who to return it to. The Ganif might remember who he stole it from, but you don't. So there's nothing you could do to repay. You don't know who this object belongs to. Elaganav gonev rabim, the ganav steals from the public, umevi lo, and brings it to this fellow, the hulokech, and he takes it, he buys it. Moreover, you're also supporting evil doing and theft and encouraging more. Number three, moti avedav enu machrizaleh, you find a lost object, and you don't do achraza, you don't publicize it. Ad sheyachzira leva'ala, until it's returned to its owner. La'achar zman k'sheyaseh tshuva. So then, a couple of months later, you want to do tshuva. Ein yodeh lemi yachzir. It might be too late. You won't be able to find the person who lost it anymore. And then, you've done an aveira, b'inad m'chaveira, without the possibility of doing mechila. asking for mechila. Va'ochel shod aniyim v'yisomim v'almanos. The idea here is that you take things that are, set aside for poor people, and you take it. So now you have you've harmed aniyim, but there's no way to repay them. You don't know who you've harmed. Okay, let's just finish the Eluv ne Adam umlalim heim. These are poor people, destitute. Ve'enam yiduin umufusamim. They're not well known. Ve'golin me'ir le'ir. Ve'en lahem makir. They wander from city to city. Nobody knows them. Kadesh yeda shod zeh shalmihu. V'yachsi renulo. You can never repay it. Again, these things, perhaps to some degree, you can repair by trying to do the opposite. So maybe a way to be misakin for this is to give lots of tzedakah. But even then, you haven't fully repaired, because the ani you harmed, you don't know if you're going to help by giving them tzedakah. What are you going to say? Yeah.
The guests all get the chicken, and the kids don't end up getting anything.
Yeah, it's very tricky. Someone who takes advantage of that situation is certainly doing something along these lines, and that's a very terrible thing. There are times that you feel like you're in this situation, but you didn't mean to be in this situation, and you don't really have a choice. And under circumstances like that, you do your best. But in general, the halacha is to take something from someone that doesn't want to give to you, while not outright theft, is like a subsection of theft, because if they're not genuinely interested in giving you this gift or this invitation or the like, then you shouldn't take it from them.
The hosts might be, but the kids might have
me. Right. So again, sometimes you're in this situation. I've been in situations like this, and there's not so much you could do. You're in their house, and they've invited you, and you feel terrible taking anything from them, but at the same time, you don't want to embarrass them. You don't want to walk out on them and say, "I'm sorry, I can't eat your food. You're so poor. What are you going to eat?" So, in situations like that, you try to think of the best thing you can do. If there's a way to somehow repay them, if there's a way to get out of it without offending them, you should. But sometimes there isn't. And it's very inspiring to sometimes see that even the people that are so needy are so generous and happy to give. And that's a tremendous thing to learn. And not only that, but if you take away that chance, that opportunity for them to give, they'll be so hurt. They so much want to give. So sometimes you have to think creatively. Is there something you could do then? But that's not what the Rambam is talking about here. This is talking about a case where you could avoid this situation. You're aware of what you're doing, and you do it anyway. And that's wrong. The mekabel shochad lahatus esadin, someone who accepts bribery. Eino yodeat hechan higia hataizu. You never know how far this distortion of justice is going to go. B'chama hu kocha kadesh yachzir. Shadavar yeshlo raglayim. The Torah says, Ki ashochad yaver nepechim yisalef debrei tzadikim. Person can not really say, "Oh, I'll take the shochad, but I'll still judge honestly." So once you've taken that shochad and then you've judged, you don't really know who's right, and you don't know how to repay it, because there's no way to ever look at the situation objectively again. And this is true for judges and perhaps even for non-judges when relevant. V'od shumachzik yad zeh machtiyo. Moreover, as we've seen this in several times in the Rambam, that a person has to be concerned about the societal effects of their actions. And when you do something that causes other people to do bad things, you are responsible as well. Okay, so stop here, and we're all, next time we'll finish the pack. Bezes Hashem.
Thank you very much.
Okay, good evening.